Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Psachim, Daf Ayin Vav. We're learning today Le'ilu Nishmas, Morris Feld, Moshe ben Menachem Mendel Halevi. We're also learning Le'ilu Nishmas, my mother-in-law, Esther Etel, Bas Zalman Yosef, a very special lady who we miss very much. May all the neshamas we learn for have an aliyah from our learning. So we briefly, the Gemara that we learned at the end of yesterday's shiur, which was the start of the Gemara, from the very last line on Eight Hamud Beis, where we learned a famous machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. We said it, but we learned the Beis Medrash. If you have something mixing with something else, cham l'toch cham, if something hot mixes with something else hot, divrei hakol osur. So everybody agrees that in that situation, the item that's osur, that mixes with the item that's permissible, is going to be able to spread the item of osur into the item of mutter. The issa will become absorbed within the heter, and therefore making the heter item osur. And likewise, if you have something that is cold, tzonein, that falls into itself, tzonein, that falls into something cold, so cold doesn't allow absorption to occur, and therefore it's adequate just to go, according to everybody, divrei hakol mutter. There is no absorption. All you have to do is rinse off the area that the cold touched the other area to prevent any of the surface from maybe picking up some of the issa, but you just rinse it off and there's no problem. In that situation, everybody's maskim, the first case, hot into hot, it's osur, cold into cold, it's mutter. Now, where we have a famous machlokas is when you have cham l'toch tzonin. If you have something on the top that is hot, that falls into something that is cold. So which one has the power to win? As Rashi says, which one is notzeach? Which one is going to win in this battle of the isser overpowering the heter, or the heter overpowering the isser? In other words, can the hot go and absorb into the cold, or will the cold prevent the hot from causing transmission? Now, it doesn't make a difference, really, which one is the issa, which one is the heter, because if the cold prevents the heat from being able to transmit, so it won't transmit from the item that's also into the item that's mutter, doesn't make a difference which one is which. So here we have the famous machlokas, Rav Amar Eloi Gavar, whichever one is on the top, that's the one that's going to be able to be minatzeach, that's the one that will win, and if the top one is going to be the hot, so the hot will win out over the bottom cold, and therefore there'll be transmission. Whereas Shmuel Amar Tatoi Gavar, the famous opinion that the bottom one is going to be able to win, and therefore if the bottom one is hot, it will be able to overpower the cold on the top. If the bottom one is cold, so then it will overpower the heat on the top and will not allow transmission. So we are three parts of our Mishnah that are going to be kashas on Shmuel's opinion that Tatoi Govar. Now, we learn first in our Mishnah, it's not Notath Neirotvo Alacheres. If you have some of the juices that come out of the meat that you're cooking, and it's Korban Pesach, and it falls onto the cheres, onto the earthenware oven that you're roasting the Korban Pesach in. Now, we learned in the Mishnah that it's hot, because that will be the maskon of the Gemara, but right now we're going to assume that the cheres is cold. The chazar elov, and then some of the gravy that came from the Korban Pesach, which is hot, onto the kli cheres, which is cold, and the chazar elov, and then it bounces back off the tanur, which is cold, into the Korban Pesach. So yitol es mekomo. So what you have to do kidei netila, since some of this Korban Pesach is now going to be, as we will see as the case unfolds, it's going to be tzolui, not directly from the fire, elmi dover acher. So therefore, if it's going to be tzolui machmas dover acher, it's going to ruin that part of the Korban Pesach. So that part that jumps back in, the gravy that jumped back in off the tanur, is going to need to be removed, and it absorbs a little bit kidei netila, so you have to remove kidei netila. That's what we said, yitolus makomo. Now, kasoka daitach, right now, we're working with the impression that it's talking about becheres tzonenes, that the tanur is not hot. Now, bishlomo l'rav, according to Rav, who says that the top is the important part, ilor govar, so now we have no problem. Bishlom l'rav de'omar ilor govar, mishum hochi, itolas makomo. When the hot gravy went into the underneath cold tanur, so the tanur is the tator, and that's cold, and the top, the gravy, is hot, so the hot overpowers the cold, and it turns the tanur somewhat hot. Now the tanur is somewhat hot, it's going to, in turn, go and make the gravy somewhat cooked from the tanur, because Rav holds Ilor Gavar, so the top won out, the gravy won out against the tanur and heated up the tanur. Now the tanur is hot, and it's going to go back and heat up the gravy. Mishum Hachi, Yitolus Makomo. We understand why now, when it splashes back, you have to remove Kidei Netila from the Korban Pesach, because the Ozal, because the Rotav, which is now heated up from the Korban Pesach, is going to be Mirateach Leil HaCharis, is going to heat up the cold oven, that is the earthenware oven. And V'Hodar Charis Mirateach Lo L'Rotav, and this oven is going to go and heat up Mirateach Lo L'Rotav. And this charis, which got heated up because the law of Govar, is now going to in turn go back and give some heat to the gravy. Now, obviously, it's not going to make the gravy hotter. It can't make the gravy hotter, but it does supply some heat to the gravy. And therefore, now, when the gravy now bounces back, the juices bounce back to the Korban Pesach, a Pesach, komate Pesach, it's going to go and cook the Korban Pesach in that spot, machmas chamimusu de charis, because as a result of the kli charis, there is a little bit of cooking of the juices of the gravy here, which is now going to cook the Korban Pesach when it bounces back. And the Torah tells us, as we learned in yesterday's shiur, rachmon amar, tzli eish, lo tzli machmas dovaracher, it has to be directly from the fire, it can't be from something indirectly from the fire. Bo machmas dover acher. And therefore, in this situation, Rav makes perfectly good sense. Why have to do kedei netila? But if you hold like Shmuel, tator govar, if you hold that the bottom one is going to dominate, so the bottom one here is the kli charis, the earthenware utensil, and therefore it's cold. Elo l'shmuel d'yomar tator govar, charis, kivan d'tzoninu, this earthenware utensil, the oven, let's say, is cold, so akure meikar le'lerotav, it's going to overpower the hot gravy and turn the gravy into cold and not allow the gravy to go and become hot. So therefore, the gravy now loses out to the charis and it bounces back off the charis. It lost its ability to be heated because tator govar. And therefore, it's now coming back cold onto the Korban Pesach, and therefore the Korban Pesach won't be heated up by this cold gravy. So it won't be Tzolui machmas dover acher. So therefore, you shouldn't need to do kidei netila. So that's the Gemara's question on Shmuel. Amai yitol es makomo. Why did you say in the Mishnah kidei netila? According to Shmuel, tator gavar, nothing should be required to be taken off. So the Gemara says, kidam Rabbi Yirmiyahu Shmuel. As we're going to say in a moment, the teretz number two that we're going to give in case number two in the Mishnah, we're giving now for teretz number one, for case number one in the Mishnah. Kidam Rabbi Yirmiyahu Shmuel, besolus rosachas. The next case is going to be talking about that the tator was hot. So too, over here, we're going to say, just like in the next case, besolus rosachas, that the flour that the gravy fell into, from the next case in the Mishnah, we're going to say it's hot. That's going to be the teretz over there. So hochanami, becheres roseach. Who says we're dealing with a cold earthenware tanur? We're dealing over here with a hot earthenware tanur. And therefore, even according to Shmuel, this is now cham b'tzol cham. That's exactly what the Rabbeinu Chanan says. Cham l'tol cham. This is a classical case of cham l'tol cham. And therefore, even Shmuel would say, of course, that it absorbs it. And that's why it gets heated up when it goes into the hot tanur. And now when it bounces back to the Korban Pesach, the juices, the gravy, are going to go and require kidei netila because of tzoli machmas dover achar. That's the first part of the Mishnah. It seemed to be a teretz, a kasha gan Shmuel, and we teretz it up by saying that it's not a case of tator govar, it's a case of cham l'tol cham. Second case would be exactly the same shakel v'tarya, except with a slightly different circumstances. So it's not. Next case we learned in our Mishnah is notaf meirotvo ala solas. If you had some of the juices, some of the gravy, landing from the Korban Pesach onto flour. Now, right now, again, we're going to assume the flour is cold. We'll end up saying, no, the flour is hot. So the gravy, again, is the law, and the solus is the tatar. So the halach is yikmos es makomo. You have to take away a whole bunch of the area surrounding where the gravy fell into this flour. Kmitza, you have to do a removal of the general area where the flour came through. This is like kedei netila. Yikmos es mekomo, and the reasoning is kosol kadaitoch besolus sonenis. We're assuming right now that we're dealing with the flour at the bottom over here that is cold, and therefore, according to Rav Bishlomo Rav the Amar Yilo Gavar, according to him, the hot gravy overpowers the cold bottom, the cold solus. So we understand that the top gravy heats up the solus then is going to heat up the gravy, the juices that fall into it. So now the gravy is heated up the surrounding solus, which in turn then goes back and heats up the gravy. Now the gravy is tzoli machmas dover acher, and therefore you have to throw away all that gravy. You can't eat that gravy. It's not tzli eish directly. It's tzli mimachmas dover acher, and therefore it absorbed into the surrounding flour, and the surrounding flour has to be have a kmitza done to it to get rid of the surrounding area. Mishum hachi yik moses mekomo. We understand why. Again, the Gemara now explains it. The ratach loas lasoles that you have the gravy heating up the surrounding cold soles, ilor gavar, the hadr hudrine, as Rashi explains, this is lashon schar schar. It gets going round and around, and the gravy heats up all the flour that is around it. And then the hadr soles, this now hot flour, because ilor gavar miraschol el didei, goes and returns, so to say, some of the heat back to the gravy, and therefore the gravy is now tzoli machmas dover acher. The chomatve rotev machmas chamimusa de soles. So the gravy got heated up by the heat of the soles that came about because of ilor gavar. And now again, rachmona mar tzliyesh lo tzli machmas dover acher, and therefore you have to go do a kmitza. Yikmots es mekomo. Rav is perfectly fine. El l'shmuel, but according to Shmuel, who holds the Omer Tato Gavar, he says that the bottom cold is going to overpower the top hot. So when the gravy falls into the soles, the hot gravy falls into the bottom soles, the soles should win. And the soles should cool off, so to say, the gravy. And soles, kivin the tzonanasi, since the soles, we're assuming right now, kosoka daitok, that we're dealing with cold soles, so the soles is going to overpower the hot gravy. And akure komekale, it's going to cool it down. And therefore, the gravy is now cool. So if the gravy is cool, it doesn't provide heat to the surrounding soles. Lomali yikmotzes mekomo, why would you have to go and remove the area surrounding the gravy? Now Rashi says, we're not goris the next up. That's the end of the question over here. Rashi says, velo garsinun, bekolif is mekomo sagya. Rashi says, you don't need to just remove that place. The whole thing is perfectly good because you just have the gravy that fell off the carbon pasach. Nothing happened to the gravy. It got cooled off. So you'll have to have cold carbon pasach. That's not a problem. So Rashi says, you don't goris over here, tiskele biyitol es mekoma. You don't have to go even remove the surrounding area. It's all perfectly good. Tosus, on the other hand, says that no, there is some heat still present that you have to go and remove a little bit. Tiskele biyitol es mekoma. So Tosus is goris the next piece. In any event, the bottom line is, it's a question on Shmuel. Ushmuel amar, tatar gavar, here you clearly see that tatar was not gavar. So again, here's where we have the teretz from case number one, Amar Rav Yirmiyahu ben Shmuel. No, besolus v'sachas. We're dealing over here with hot solus, with hot flour at the bottom, and therefore it's not a case of Eloi Gavar or Tatar Gavar. It's a case of Cham Litzoch Cham. And therefore everybody agrees that it spreads out, and therefore Shmuel agrees as well in this situation, Cham Litzoch Cham, that it's going to be able to spread, and you're going to have to do a kmitza. You have to remove a whole bunch of the area around the gravy to remove any of the gravy that's absorbed into the soles, which is now going to be cooking and turn back the gravy. So this is going to be tzoli machmas dover acher, and is no good. Try again. The next part of the Mishnah said, "Tanan sochu b'shemesh al truma." We said in the case where you're basting the korban pesach with truma, it's not a problem if the chabura is all kohanim. Im chabura is kohanim, if they're all kohanim, so they can have the truma, they can eat the korban pesach. Yochelu, no problem. Everybody can eat it. But if some or all of the people are Yisraelim, so then you got a problem because Yisrael is not allowed to eat the truma. So what do you do? So in that situation, if they basted it while it was still raw before it was cooked, im chayu. So what do? Very simple. Yadichenu. All you have to do is rinse it off, because cold doesn't absorb in cold. Like we said at the very beginning, tzonein b'soch tzonein is not a problem. Diri akol mutter. It doesn't absorb at all. You just rinse it off. Yadichenu. However, im tzolihu, if it's already been roasted, so it's hot and it will absorb, so you have the top cold oil of truma that you're basting, the bottom hot korban pesach, so yiklov es hachitzon. You just have to do kidei kalifa. You just have to remove a little bit of the outside part of the korban pesach, because in this situation it only absorbed a little bit. Again, you have the cold on the top and the hot on the bottom. So according to Rav Bishlam Rav Amar Ilo Govar, the top one wins. The cold top basting material, the oil, is going to overpower the hot carbon pesach. So we understand very well. It only absorbs very, very little. Even though it cools it off, it's still going to absorb very, very little. So you just have to do kidei klifa. You just have to peel off a little bit where the cold basting oil of truma absorbed only a little bit into the hot carbon pesach, because ilor gavar, the cold overpowered the hot, and it only goes in a little bit. Therefore, mishum the ilor itzonin hu. That's because the top is cold, and ilor gavar, it's going to cool off the Korban Pesach. However, according to Shmuel, the heat on the bottom, the heat of the Korban Pesach, should overpower the oil that is cold, that is being basted on the top of Truma, so it should be able to absorb all the way in. Tator Gavar, it should allow the Truma to be fully absorbed within the meat. Even the chabu, since the meat is hot, it's, in the case of tzolui, mivla bala, it should allow, because of tator gavar, for the basting oil that's truma to be all the way absorbed into the korban pesach. And therefore, amai sagale beklifa nitzar ligarme. Why should you need over here only to peel off a little bit, and that should be adequate to prevent the truma from going in, and the non-kohanim should be able to eat the rest of the korban pesach, according to Shmuel, because of tator gavar, nitzar ligarme, it should be totally ruined. Now, the Mefarshim say it really should be Kidei Netila. It shouldn't be totally ruined, because we said in the worst case scenario, it's only Kidei Netila, which it means you have to remove a lot. But the Mefarshim explain, since it's going in over the entire, basically the entire Korban Pesach, you basically have to remove so much of the Korban Pesach that it's not going to be anything really left to eat. This Kidei Netila is going to ruin most of the Korban Pesach. So therefore, Nitzal Gamre is, practically speaking, you really don't have a Korban Pesach anymore. It's certainly more than Kidei Klifa. So the Kash is on Shmuel, who says, Tator Gavar, here you clearly see that it's Eloi Gavar. So Gemara says, no, Sicha is different. Anointing, this basting is different. Why? Shiny Sicha, the Mashu Be'amahu De Avida. Because you don't baste with a large amount. You only baste with a very small amount. And even if it gets totally absorbed, because Tator Gavar, according to Shmuel, nevertheless, how much can get absorbed? You only baste it with a very small amount. So therefore, even if it's totally absorbed, it only goes in Kidei Klifa, because there's so little. And that's why even Shmuel, who holds Tator Gavar, would say in this situation, you only have to remove a Klifa, only a little peel, only a little small amount, and it doesn't get absorbed Kidei Netila, or all the way through and through. So the three aspects of our Mishnah were all said his kashas to Shmuel, and he resolved each one. Now, here we have where Rashi had pointed out in yesterday's shiur that normally we paskin like Rav in regards to Isurei, but here we paskin like Shmuel because we're now going to bring two brises in support of Shmuel. So Tanya Kavazi to Shmuel. The first brise in support of Shmuel is the following. The brise says, Cham l'toch cham osu. Everybody agrees that when you have heat going in with heat, so kuli amma, everybody said it's osu in that situation. But here we now have the part that's exactly like Shmuel and is against Rav. The chain tzonein, if you have cold on the top, shenosan l'socham, that goes onto the bottom that's hot. So you have over here, tatar govar, because he says osu. So this is exactly like Shmuel. So the Braisa says that if the top is cold and the bottom is hot, it's all usher, so you clearly see tator govar. This is exactly like Shmuel. So here's the right to Shmuel, Tanya Kavasi Shmuel. We just finish off reading the rest of the Braisa. It says, Cham l'soch tzonein. If you have the top being hot, going into cold, or v'tzonein l'soch tzonein, all you have to do in this situation is mediach. You rinse it off because it doesn't absorb, and here you clearly see a raya against Rav, because here it says that if you have ilah, it's not govar. It's ilah over here. All you have to do is mediach. So this is a raya for Shmuel and against Rav. Now, the Gemara says, Chan l'toch tzonein mediach. If you have the hot going into the cold, so in this situation, kiven the chamhu, when since the top one is hot, ademei karlei, while it goes and gets cooled off from the bottom, because we say tator gavar, how come you don't have to at least, why are you saying mediach? You should get at least a little bit of absorption. You have to do a bala porta, as much as we say that the bottom cold is going to defeat the top hot, there's still going to be some absorption. So how come you said all you have to do is rinse it off? In fact, klipa mio nibai, you should have to do at least a kidei klipa. There should be some absorption. So the brisa is not such a support of Shmuel. The second part of the brisa seems to almost be a kash on Shmuel, because it shouldn't be just mediach. It should be a kidei klipa. So it says, you're right, eleima. Cham l'toch tzonein kolef. You're right. If it was that top hot going into the bottom cold, then you have to do kidei klifa. It's only in the case of tzonein, let's say tzonein. If the cold goes into cold, then there's no absorption whatsoever. All you have to do is rinse it off mediach. That's the right way to read the brisa. And again, it was a Tanya Kavasi de Shmuel. Another brisa, Tanya Yidach, another brisa is going to be support for Shmuel. Basar roseach, if you have hot meat. Shenofal l'soch cholav roseach. If you have hot meat going into hot milk, so that's a classical case of basar b'cholav, it's going to be osur. Or if you have the chain tzonein, the top is cold, shenofal l'soch cham, and the bottom is hot, So the Braisa says it's also because this is a classical case of Tator Gavar. The top cold falls into the hot bottom, and therefore it's going to allow absorption because of Tator Gavar. The bottom heat is going to overpower the top cold, and the thing is going to be Osir. It's going to be Basar B'Cholov. Now, the next case in the Braisa says, but if you have Cham, hot on the top, the falls are so sewn in on the bottom. So then it's going to be a case of Ilah, the top one, is it Gavar or not? Tzonin, or Tzonin, so Tzonin, you're going to have Mediach. All you have to do is rinse it off. So again, this is clearly showing you that we don't say Ilah Gavar. But again, the same question that we had a moment ago in the first Braisa, how come in this situation, when Chamu told Tzonin, we said all you have to do is rinse it off, there should be a limited amount of absorption. So it's not a full riot to Shmuel, it's a little bit of a kash on Shmuel, but we answer it up the same way we answer the first Braisa. So we say, Chamu told Tzonin, Mediach. All you have to do, if the top one is hot, falls into the bottom one that's cold, is just do a Hadacha, just rinse it off. But why? Kiven the Chamu, since the top one is hot, it's going to penetrate a little bit the bottom one. Until the bottom one wins, until you say Tator Gavar, Yavshu de lo balapurta, a little bit is going to go in, and therefore, at least Klipa Mionibai, you should have to peel off a little bit, Kadei Klipa, instead of being allowed to just do Hadacha, to rinse it off. So when it says the same terms as before, yeah, you're right. In the case of Cham L'toch Tzonein, you're right, Kol, if you have to do Klifa. And when we said the Mediach, that was when it was cold, L'tzonein, L'toch Tzonein, then Mediach, then it's just going to be rinsed off. But you're right, if the hot goes into the bottom cold, so it will absorb a little bit, and you have to do Klifa. So we have these two brises, Tanya Kavosei de Shmuel. And that's why Rashi said, we paskin over here like Shmuel, because of the two brises. Nadigmar says, on my mind, we go back and quote what we just learned. It said, Tzonin letoch tzonin mediach. If you have cold going into cold, so there's no absorption whatsoever, just to rinse off in case there's a little bit of the schmaltz that's right on the top. But what you have to do is rinse it off. On Rav Huna said, Loshanu, this din of tzonin letoch tzonin, that all you have to do is mediach, is only talking about Loshanu el shlo molcho, if you didn't salt it. But if you salted it, avor molcho, also, if you went and salted it, then it allows absorption. Why is that? Because we have a famous principle. We learned this by Shabbos, and now we learn it over here as well. The Amar Shmuel. Shmuel taught us, Maliach Hareyu Karoseach, Kavush Hareyu Kabavushal. Shmuel made two very important statements, and he said, number one, Maliach, if you salt something, it halachically has the ability to absorb. Hareyu Karoseach, it's like you turned it into something hot. So if you salt it, we'll see, you have to salt it to a point where it's almost uneatable. It's salted so much. So if you salt it significantly, so then it's as if you're heating it up, and when something heats up, it can absorb. So therefore, when we say cold into cold, all you have to do is rinse it off. That's assuming none of the cold is salty so much. But if one of the cold is salty, it will allow absorptions to go back and forth. Maliach harei koroseach. So this is a principle in terms of Hilchos Shabbos as well for what's considered cooking or not. But here we're talking about absorptions. And the second part of Shmuel's statement is kovush, if you pickle something, if you soak it in something for a while, Rashi says over here that we're dealing with putting it into vinegar, but lav dafka, it could be something that is as well just soaking in something for a 24-hour period of time, so then, harehu kemavushal, it is considered also like it is cooked. So you have maliach, harehu kiroseach, and you have kovush, harehu kemavushal. So these are two important statements. Now, Omar Rava says, we're only going to discuss the first statement, so we're going to leave out the word v'chule over here. That's why it's in parentheses. So that which Shmuel said, Hodi Omar Shmuel Maliach Harei Kuroseach. Now v'chule, he said other things. He said the second part, which is kavush Harei Kuroseach, but we're not interested in right now, so that's why we leave out the v'chule. So the first statement that Shmuel made, Maliach Harei Kuroseach, he only said that it's salting allows absorption, lo amor el shalo nechal machmas milcho, that it is so salty that it's not able to be eaten because of the saltiness. However, avol nechal machmas milcho, but if you're able to go and eat it, even though it's been salted, so then lo, then this din doesn't apply, that maliach harehu kiroseach, that salting it makes it like it's hot. It's only if it's salted excessively that it makes it like it's hot, but just a little bit of salt on it won't allow the absorption. So that's the qualification that Rava gave over here to Shmuel's statement. Now, Maisa Shahaya, how about Gozla? There once was a young dove, a gozel is a dove or a pigeon, and the bar gozel means a baby dove or a pigeon. The nofal lekado de kamcha, that fell into a container of kamcha. Rashi explains kamcha is kutach, the famous kutach habavli, and this kutach habavli, besides having bread inside of it, vizbe nisyove de chava, it had some spoiled milk inside of it as well. So this milk that was inside of it makes this kimcha a milcha kadish, and the gozla obviously is a pigeon, which is foul. Now, even though there's a big machlokis, do we consider birds to be fleishos or not? So we're assuming the standard halachic opinion, which we of course pass like, is that chicken is considered fleish. So now you have fleish going into milk. So what's the din? Shayir Rav Chinina, Berei de Rava Mipashruna, this great Tamachachim Rav Chinina, who was the son of Rava Mipashrunya, he said as follows, that it is mutter, Shayir. He said it is permissible. Now, why is that? Omar Rava, Rava said, it's a good thing that he was such a great Tamachachim that he could figure this out. Mon Chakim, who is so smart, Lemishra Milsa, to make something that sounds like it should be Aser, Lemishra Milsa Kiha, to make permissible something like this, that the little baby pigeon that fell into the Milchika dish, how does he say that this is going to be permissible? Who else could be smart enough to figure this out? Ilav Rav Chinina Berei de Rav Mipashrunya, other than Rav Chinina, who is the son of Rav Mipashrunya. Why? Because he's the Gavarabu. He's a great Talmud Chacham. Now, what would he hold over here? Why is the pigeon, the baby pigeon over here, allowed to be eaten even though it fell into the kind of the Kimcha? Because Amalach, he will tell you that even though Shmuel said, Ki Amar Shmuel, Maliach Reku Raseach, and therefore this kind of the Kimcha, which has salt inside of it, should have been able to absorb into the pigeon, and therefore you should have a fleishich item that now has milchiks inside of it because of the principle of Maliach Reku Raseach. No. Shmuel only said that if it's excessively salty. But this kimcha is not excessively salty. Hi, this kimcha, nechal machmas milcho, it's normally able to be eaten. It's not that salty, and therefore it won't absorb. And all you have to do is do hadacha. You just have to rinse it off, and then the pigeon is perfectly permissible. No absorption will occur inside the pigeon. However, vahani mili, this is only true if the pigeon was raw. Chai, if the pigeon hasn't been cooked. If it's raw, so then all you have to do is hadocha. The salt won't be able to penetrate because there's not enough salt there to make it maliach harei kuroseach. But avol tzoli, if the pigeon had been roasted, so then it will be able to absorb because a roasted pigeon absorbs much better than a raw pigeon. And therefore, avol tzoli by klifa, you'd have to go and at least do a klifa over here because the cooking will allow some of the kimcha to go inside the pigeon a little bit. It won't penetrate a lot, but you have to do kedei klifa. You have to go and remove a peel's worth. And we even said there, v'lo amarin el les bepili. We said, even when it was raw, that it doesn't absorb, that's only if it doesn't have cracks in it. A peel is an elephant. An elephant is called a peel because it has what looks like cracks in the skin. It has like these grooves or folds in the skin that look like cracks. So if the raw pigeon has pile, it has cracks in it, so then it will absorb it as well. It's only the last lebe pile that we don't concern ourselves with the raw pigeon absorbing. But if the raw pigeon has cracks in it, the meat has cracks in it, so then isbe pile, it will be osir. And likewise, the misubo betavle osir. And likewise, we say that even if it has been spiced, so the spices also allow the isit to get absorbed, because even if it doesn't have cracks, it will be absorbed because of the spicing. Now, I explain the case of the pile is talking about even raw meat, which is what's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. But in the Gemara in Chulin, where this parallel situation is discussed, you have different opinions, whether it's talking about roasted meat, or it's talking about hot meat, or it's talking even about raw meat. So I gave you the answer that it's talking about raw meat, lamaisa, lahalocha, and that's why I said ispe pile, if there are cracks, it will absorb it, whether it's hot or even if it's raw. And Rashi explains the case of the tavlin. He says that the tavlin soften up the bar gozla. The tavle merachechele umaitze. It softens it up and allows it to absorb ubali lekutzcha, and it will be able to absorb the kutach. Ubar gozla tzonin haba kimefarish. And in this situation, Rashi clearly says that we're dealing here even if it's cold. Amar Rav. Rav tells us, return to the Amid Beis. I involve Amid Beis. He says, baser shkuta shomein. If you have fatty meat, the shechted meat, shetzulo, that you roasted it, in basu nevela, kochush. You roasted it with non-kosher meat. Nevela was non-shechted animal, so it's, in the vernacular, we call it treif, but it's really a nevela. Treif means that there's an internal anatomical abnormality, but dealing here with the nevela that wasn't shechted. So you have this fatty kosher meat that is being roasted in the oven with nevela meat that is not fatty. Now, fat allows the absorptions to occur much better. So again, the scenario is you have fatty kosher meat being roasted with non-fatty, thin, kochush, nevela meat. What's the din? Osir. The nevela is able to go into the kosher meat and ruin it. Osir. The nevela will get absorbed into the Shmeina kosher meat and ruin it, make it osur. Now, why is this? My time, how come? So the Gemara says, Mifatme mehadadi, because they jump from one to the other. The Nevela is able to jump into the Basar Shamein that is shechted, the kosher meat. Now, this is the opinion of Rav, But Levi disagrees. Levi Omar, Afilu Basar Shchuta Kochus. She says, even if it's the other way around, even if you're dealing over here with the kosher meat being very lean, and it was the meat of the Nevela that was fatty, should solo in Basar Nevela Shamein. Even though the fatty part is the one that really pushes the absorption, and here the nevela is the fatty part, even in this situation, he says it's mutter, the fatty nevela will not be able to go and penetrate into the leaner kosher meat. How come? Why does Levi say that it doesn't get absorbed? My timer. He says, Reicha b'yamahu. He says, this is just reyach. This is just over here, the scent, the aroma of the nevela meat, it doesn't have any mamashes to it, and therefore can't ruin the kosher meat. So we have here the principle, v'recha lav milsahi. According to Levi, recha lav milsahi. According to Rav, recha milsahi. A famous machlokis throughout Shas. Now, how do we paskin? So all the Levi himself, did such a thing, uvda be'resh galusa, where he allowed this to be permitted. And that was the case of Bigdi for Dovaracha. They were cooking a goat together with Dovaracha. Dovaracha actually tells us, oh, it means chazir, a pig. So don't ask me why, but they were roasting a pig in the same oven as they were roasting this kosher goat. And Levi Lemaisa said that the pig did not send over these reyach into the kosher gdi, and he allowed them to still eat the kosher gdi. So Levi passing this halach Lemaisa, that the recha lav milsa he. Now, Mora says, wait a second, Nesvei, I'll show you from the following Brisa that Levi, you're wrong. The Brisa says, Ain solim shnei pesachim kiechot. You're not allowed to go and roast two carbon pesachs together in the same oven. Why? Because they're going to get mixed together. Now, what does it mean they're going to get mixed together? My lav doesn't mean tarovis to amin. Doesn't mean that carbon pesach A is going to send over reach to carbon pesach B and vice versa. And therefore, you're going to have people from a chabura on A eating some of the reyach from the carbon pesach B, which they're not allowed to do. They're not allowed to partake of two carbon pesachs. So isn't that the problem? The kasha levi that you see reicha milsahi, and sakasha levi says reicha lav milsahi. Someone says no. Levi would answer. The reason that we say over here is mitmei tarovis doesn't mean the tarovis of the reyach. It means lo mitmei tarovis gufin. That we're going to be concerned that the people that were mona on carbon pesach A by accident are going to eat carbon pesach B. That's why don't roast them near each other. And this makes sense. Hochanami mistabra. Because Tony Sefer, keep on reading the Brisa. The Brisa says, this is true, afilu gediu tle, even if it's two different types of korban pesach. The two kosher types of korban pesach could be a goat or a little shepsela, a little sheep. So it says over here, even if korban pesach 1 is a gedi and korban pesach 2 is a tle, still don't roast them in the same oven, because we're concerned about maybe the people from Korban Pesach A eating Korban Pesach B. Now, this makes sense if you're telling me over here that we're only concerned about Korban Pesach A eating Korban Pesach B. Yeah, Ms. Mishlom of Negufin, because of the two possibilities, Korban Pesach A and Korban Pesach B, you may end up eating the wrong Korban Pesach. Now we understand why it says, Afilu Gedivitzle. Haylu Diktani, Afilu Gedivitzle. Even if they're so different, how can you tell me that the people on Korban Pesach A who know they're having a goat are going to end up taking the Korban Pesach B, which is a sheep? No, because people would still make a mistake. And that's why it says, Afilu Gedivitzle. But if you're telling me, Ella, Iyamis, it's like Rav, that it's Recha Milsi, Mimnei Tarovas Tata'amim, that we're concerned that some of the taste from A, some of the aroma from A is going to go into B, and that's the concern over here. So then what difference does it make if it's a Gdi and a Ktle? Mali Gdi Utle, Mali Gdi Ugdi, even two different goats, that would be a bigger Kiddush. So when you say Afilu Gdi Utle, that's not such a big Kiddush, according to Recha Milsi. To say it's a big Kiddush would be Afilu Gdi Ugdi, that would be a bigger Kiddush. So therefore, Levi says, this Brisa is actually in support of me, it makes sense. Now, it's so much so, the Gemara says, Elamai, Al-Korchach, therefore, what are you saying over here? Ne taruv is gufin hu di-asur, aval taruv is ta'amim shari. So what you're basically saying over here is that Recha lav milsi, this brisa is such a support to Levi, that it now becomes a kasha on Rav. You're clearly showing me that you're only concerned about mixing up the gdi and the tle even, but you're not concerned about the tam going from one to the other, the reach going from one to the other, tarov is talmim shari, that's not a concern. So let us say, this is not only a support for Levi, but it's actually a kashan rab, because you clearly seem to be saying that reach lav milsi, and that's a kashan rab, it says reach milsi. So Gemara says no. Rav Yirmi says no. Hachem Ayaskin, what are we talking about? Kigon Shitzlo B'Shtei Kederos. You had it roasted in two different pots, and therefore there's no way that the aroma from pot A is going to get into pot B. Versus, what are you talking about? B'shtei kederos, so kedaitach, this is carbon pesach. That's a bit slee. You know, let it put it into pots. So how can you be talking about that there are pots over here? So Rabbi Yirmiyah has to say, no, this is what I meant. Elo ema ke'ein shtei kederos. It's as if it was in two separate pots. Why? Because v'hachi karma, this is what you did. The Bryce is telling us, ein solon shtei pesachim ki echad b'nei tarobis. And now let it go roast two carbon pesachs near each other because of the concern of tarovis, which Rav Yirmiyah explains is according to Rav that it's talking about the reyach, reycha milsehi. Now, what does it mean, my tarovis? So he says tarovis tamim. It means the reycha is milsehi, that you're concerned that the aroma from A is going to get into B, and that's substantive, and it's going to ruin B because now B has a mixture of both carbon pesach A and carbon pesach B in it, and you're not allowed to eat it. Now, this is tarovis ta'amim. And this is true of afilu ke'ein shteki deros. It doesn't mean it's in pots, but it's as if you put a barrier between them, so it's like in two separate pots. The leka tarovis ta'amim, even in a situation where there's no possibility that the tam will go from A to B because you have some sort of a barrier in between them, so that's like two separate pots that the reicha can't go from A to B. Even there we're concerned, not only concerned about tarovis ta'amim, but even in the case, the lack of tarovis ta'amim, when there's no possibility of the tam going from A to B, nevertheless, it's also to go and roast them together, mishum tarovis gufin, because Rav also agrees you have to be concerned about tarovis ta'amim, of gufin, not only tarovis ta'amim, and that's why it says, v'afilu g'diukla, even if they're two separate types of carbon pesach, one's a goat, one's a sheep, we are concerned not only of the aroma going from A to B, which you could prevent by putting some sort of a barrier there, but he also agrees, Rav also agrees with the idea of you have to be concerned about Tarova's goofing, that by accident the people from A might eat B, the people from B might eat A, even though they're separate species, even though one's a Gdi, one's a Tle. He agrees that's a concern. So the Brisa is not a Raya against Rav, albeit it's not a Raya to Rav, it could be a Raya to Levi as well, but it's not a Kasha on Rav. Amar Rav Mari says that this machlokas between Rav and Levi, Recha Milsi, Recha Lav Milsi, is actually machlokas Tanoim, Kitanoi. Where is this? We have the following Mishnah in Trumos. The Mishnah tells us, Haroda Pas Chama. If somebody removes hot bread from an oven, removing of bread from an oven is called Roda Pas. So you remove the bread. They used to slap on the dough onto the side walls of the oven, and then when it baked, they would go and remove it. That's called Haroda Pas Chama. You're taking out hot bread from the oven. Unisana, and you put it on top of al pichovis yayin shel truma, and you put it on top of a barrel of wine that is truma wine. So will it absorb the truma wine into this bread or not? That's the kasha. So Rabbi Osa now says that this bread will absorb, this hot bread absorbs the taste of the wine, the reyach of the wine into this bread, and therefore there is now truma in this bread, and therefore it's osur for a non-kohen to eat it. Only kohanim can eat it, but a non-kohen can't eat it. So Rabbi Meir clearly holds reicha milsi. Rav Yehuda clearly holds Recha Lav Milsehi, because he says there's no way that this hot bread will absorb any of the wine. Recha Lav Milsehi. So right over here we have a machlokes Kitanoi. Rav Meir says Recha Milsehi. Rav Yehuda says Recha Lav Milsehi. We have a third opinion in the Braisa that's a compromise opinion, which also holds Recha Milsehi to a certain extent. Rav Yossi Matir B'Shochit, and he says if it's going to be bread that's made out of wheat, so that doesn't absorb. However, but he says barley bread will absorb. So he holds the principle of Recha Milsi, just like Rav Meir, but he says it depends. It's not always going to be able to absorb. Only barley bread can absorb, wheat bread doesn't absorb. Because the sorim are able to go and absorb. Now, this is exactly what Rumari said. My love tanoi, isn't this a machlokas tanoim? That we have the Mar Sovar. Now, this is really the opinion Rav Yehuda, the Savar, Recha Lav Milsi. He holds that it's not absorbing at all. And Umar Savar, this is really the opinion of Rav Meir and also Rav Yossi, Recha Milsi, that Recha is Milsi. Levi, Vadai Tanoihi. According to Levi, you have to clearly say this is a Machlokas Tanoim. There's no way that Levi can say that it's not a Machlokas Tanoim because you have Rav Meir, clearly, and Rav Yossi in part as well, saying that Recha Milsi. So Levi, Vadai Tanoihi. But does Rav also agree? L'Rav, Nehma Tanoihi, do we say that Rav would also hold this as Machlokas Tanoim? So I'm like Rav. Rav would say, Lav Davka. He says they all really hold like me. Everybody holds over here, including Rav Yehuda, that Recha Milsi. The Kuli Amar Recha Milsi. Everybody holds like me. Lavit my law, dahi, after what wasn't said in regards to this Mishnah. Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Reish Lakish, we're dealing over here in this following situation. Bepaschah, if you're dealing with hot bread, the chavis pesucha, and an open barrel, everybody agrees the Rekol also, because everybody holds Recha Milsi, including even Rav Yehuda. That's what Rab would say. Everybody agrees with me. And everybody would agree, Bepaschah, if you're dealing with cold bread, and chavis magufa, and the barrel is sealed, that there's no way it will get through. The Rekol mutter, even though they hold Recha Milsi, but it can't get through. And they only have the machlokas between Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yossi, lo nechlu ela bepaschama, with the bread being hot, but the barrel is closed. V'chavis klesuma, can it get through? Or vice versa. Paschonenis, the bread is cold, but v'chavis psucha, but the barrel is open. Can it get through? So they all three hold Recha Milsi, but they just argue about the facts when Recha will be able to get through. And in our case as well, Kepaschama, v'chavis b'chus adamya. And our case is talking about where you had hot bread and you have the barrel is open, so everybody agrees it's going to get through. Therefore, Recha Milsi. So when Rav says, when you're roasting two types of Korban Pesach together, it's going to be Recha Milsi, he says it goes according to all three of them. Even Rav Yehuda would agree, because that case is like the equivalent of Paschama, v'chavis b'chus. Even Rav Yehuda agrees there that the bread will absorb from the open barrel of wine. Hot bread will absorb from the open barrel of wine. One roast will absorb into the other roast, and therefore, Rav would say that everybody agrees with me. It's not a machlokas tanoim. Mark continues says, Tani Rav Kahana bereid Rav Chinan Saba. Rav Kahana, who was the son of Rav Chinan Saba, said, Pascha ofor im tzli b'tanur. If you're going to go and take bread that was baked inside an oven that had roasted meat, so also liochle b'kuscha, this bread becomes fleishich, and you're not allowed to eat it with the kutach. Again, the kutach is a milchike type of a dip. That's the psak halacha from Rav Kahana bereid Rav Chinan Saba. Likewise, hay binosa. Binosa is a little fish. The itva that was roasted, bahadi bisra, that was roasted with meat. So the fish are normally parva. So in this situation, also Rava Miparzrika, Rava came from this place called Parzrika, he said that you can't have this fish now with kutach, with milchus, because the fish also now is considered fleishach. And not only that, Marba Ravasha, never mind, not allowed with milchus. He says, I feel with milcha, nami yesur. He said, even if you just salt this fish by itself, in other words, you don't put it into anything, this fish is also because of sakana, mishum dekasha l'recha l'dover acher, because fish that's cooked with meat is a sakana. It's bad for what we call recha. It gives you halitosis, or it also gives you dover acher. Dover acher is here, dover acher depends on the context, what we're talking about. Here, it means tsaras. The person has fish and meat together, it could lead to tsaras. And this is a famous discussion. We know that in Klai Yisrael, there's a very strong minhag not to have meat and fish together. People, they have gefilte fish, and then they'll take a glass of schnapps, and then they'll have the meat. So this is a very strong minhag, albeit the Magen Avraham does bring down that today we're not choshesh with this. The Magen Avraham says that this today is not a sakana, but the Welt, the world doesn't paskin like the Magen Avraham, it seems, and that we are still concerned very much of this fish and meat being eaten together. The whole separate shaila about fish and milchiks, that's a whole separate shaila for another time. Now we start the next Mishnah. Chamisha dvarim boyim betuma vein nechol betuma. Of course, we're dealing with the Korban Pesach that's allowed to be eaten and brought betumah, but other korbanos are only allowed to be brought, but they're not allowed to be eaten, because for them, the ikur is the bringing of the korban and lav dafka, eating from the korban, as opposed to the Korban Pesach, whose essence is to be eaten. So the Mishnah tells us there are five different types of korbanos that come with tumah. In other words, even if the tzibur is tameh, you can still bring them. However, they ain't on necholim betumah, but they're not allowed to be eaten when the tzibur is tameh. What types of korbanos are these? So it starts off with the omer. This is, of course, the korban that is brought on the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach in Eretz Yisrael, and this matirs all the new wheat to be used, and this korban omer is allowed to be brought even if the tzibur is tameh, but you don't eat the korban omer in that situation. These are, of course, the breads that are brought with the kivsi atzeres on Shavuos. So the shtei halechem are allowed to be eaten by the kohanim. However, if the tzibur is tameh, you just bring the korbanos, but you don't eat the shtei halechem. Likewise, the lechem upon him. They brought every Shabbos, but if the tzibur is tameh, so then the shifts of the kohanim that would normally eat them, the shift coming on and the shift coming off, so they wouldn't be allowed to eat the lechem upon him, but they would bring them. Likewise, the zivchei shalmei tzibur, all of the shlamim that are brought as a korban tzibur. Now, it sounds like there's really a lot of them, but this is really only talking about the korban that is brought on Shavuos, the kivsei atzeres. As Rashi points out, shein shlamim acherim l'tzibur. The only type of korban shlamim that's brought for the tzibur. It's the only type of korban shlamim that's kotshe kadashim. All the other korban shlamim that are brought are individual korbanos and they're kotshe kalim. So this is a paradigm for all other korbanos that are korbanos tzibur, and they're able to be brought bituma, but they're not eaten if the tzibur is tame. And finally, the siri roshi kadashim and the various korban chatas that are siirim that are brought on Rosh Chodesh, so they're also, if it's bituma, they're allowed to be brought bituma, but they're not allowed to be eaten. As opposed to the Korban Pesach. A Pesach, Shabba Betumah, Necha Betumah. As opposed to the Korban Pesach, which is brought Betumah, and it's allowed to be eaten Betumah, because as the Mishnah tells us, Shalom Ba Mitri Lasu El Lechil, the whole purpose of the Korban Pesach is not to bring a Kapara, but the purpose of the Korban Pesach is for a person to eat the Korban Pesach. And that's what the Mishnah tells us. Now the Gemara starts off and says, Chamisha, when you give us a number over here, Lemute Mai, when you have a specific number, it normally comes for a purpose. So what is it coming to exclude? As Rashi points out, Minyan, normally, why are you telling me a number? We can count. Listen to Karbanat Sibur, Boim Betumah, just say, the following Karbanat Sibur come Betumah, Venechon Betumah. Why are you telling me five? So the Gemara tells us this is specifically to come to exclude Lemute Chagigas Chamish Osar. This is coming to specifically include the Chagiga that comes on the 15th day of Pesach, which is the paradigm for the Chagiga that's brought on Shavuos and the Chagiga that's brought on Sukkot as well. So this has to be taught to us that this doesn't come Betumah. Why is that? Even if the entire tzibur is tummy, you don't bring it to Soka, Dayat Techaminim, because I would have said on my own, it's a carbon tzibur, keeping the carbon tzibur, who? Ukvia Le Moed, and it has to come at a set time. It should follow the normal parameters that if something comes at a set time and is designated for the tzibur, tidchei tuma, it should put aside the tuma of the tzibur, kamash v'lon, the chiddush is over here, it's not. Kivan de islay tashlum kol shiva, because one can bring it on any day. One doesn't have to bring it on the first day of the yontif. You're allowed to bring it on the yemei tashlumim. The rest of the yontif for Pesach and for Sukkot and for Shavuos, we said that the yemei tashlumim, the 6 days after the first day of Shavuos, you can still bring it. That's why we don't say tachlim during those days, we mentioned many times. Therefore, kivan d'islay tashlumim kol shiva, since you could bring it any other time, it's lav dafka only on the first day, lo dochi Shabbos. So therefore, it's not dochi Shabbos. If the first day of Pesach, Sukkot, or Shavuos is on Shabbos, we don't bring the karmi chagiga. You bring the korbanos for the yontif, but you don't bring the shalmei chagiga. Therefore, if it's not dochi Shabbos, umi the Shabbos lo dochi tuma. So then the rule is, if something isn't dochi Shabbos, so then it's also not dochi tuma. Gemara has one more question for today. V'nistei nami siri harigolim. Why weren't the korbanos tzibur that are docha Shabbos and are docha tumah, such as the siri haregolim, the sari that's brought as a chatas on the regolim, as part of the korban musaf, why wasn't that specifically mentioned in the Mishnah as well? That also was brought. Shmuel says, no, once we taught us the general idea, once you tell me that the shalmei tzibur is brought, which is a korban tzibur that is docha Shabbos and docha diyantiv, so then there was no reason for us to tell us every single other korban tzibur as well. Shmuel says, if that's true, but you did mention some others. Why do you tell us that the Sar of Rosh Chodesh, that is allowed to be brought and is docha Shabbos and is docha tumah? So how come you have to tell me that? Once you told me the shalmei tzibur, the kifsi atzeres, so if you're not telling me the Siri Regalim, why are you telling me the Siri Rosh Chodesh? Of course, no, that there's already a specific reason for. You can't say Siri Rosh Chodesh, Namin Lo Nisne, Doha Tona, Ziv Chesham Mitzibor, because Amre, we turn to Ayin Zayin Omer Aleph, that you wouldn't automatically know that the Siri Rosh Chodeshim could be brought just because you could bring the Shalmei Tzibor that I brought on Shavuos to teach me all the other Kabbalahs that I brought on the Shlosh Regalim. Rosh Chodesh is different. Why? So, Kedai Techamina, because on Rosh Chodesh I would have said Halok Sibu Moed. Rosh Chodesh doesn't have the status of being a full Moed. So therefore, I might have thought that while you can be Doche, Tumah, and Shabbos for the Seirim that are brought on Yontif because of the Shalmei Tzibur that's brought on Yontif, therefore, I might have said only Yontif, only Moed, Kamash V'lan, the Rosh Chodesh Shikri Moed. So the Chiddush over here is that Rosh Chodesh is also called the Moed. Where do we see that? Kedabaya. Abaya taught us this, the Omar Abaya. Abaya Darshan, the Psukim, that come on the year that Nebuch the Meraglim came back, and they said their lies about Eretz Yisrael, they said their slander about Eretz Yisrael, and that year, the month of Tammuz was Molly, it had 30 days, because that was necessary for this to have the Meraglim come back on the 8th day of Av, and Nebuch, they cried all night, the 9th day of Av, and Hashem said the famous words, you want to cry for nothing, I'll give you something to cry about for all times. Atem b'chisem, b'chiyach shalchinam, so Nebuch, we cried for nothing, because it was wonderful to go into Eretz Yisrael, and the Meraglim, unfortunately, said their slander about Eretz Yisrael, and that caused all the trouble for all time on Tisha B'Av. So Abayi said, Doma Abayi, Tammuz the Haishata, that year, Tammuz Maluye Malyua, was a 30-day month of Tammuz. And the pasuk says, "Kora alai moed lishbor b'churoi." HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that that month would be a moed, that month would be male, and that was so that Tisha B'Av would fall out on Tisha B'Av. So therefore, we see from this pasuk that Rosh Chodesh is also called a moed, and therefore the chiddush of this mishnah is to teach us that Rosh Chodesh also is doche tuma if the tzibur is tame. You bring the soyer of Rosh Chodesh, albeit you don't eat it. Again, we learned today's Shir Lila Nishmas Morris Feld, Moshe Ben Menachem Mendel Alevi, and also Lila Nishmas, my mother-in-law, Esther Etel Balzami Yosef, all the neshamas we learned for should have an aliyah. With that, we conclude today's Shir.